Okay, so I think we'll do a little bit of Kahelis. All right. Now, yeah.
Everything okay, guys?
Why? Yeah, so the question, of course, in Kahelis is, see, the whole Sefer Kahelis raises a question. One question, which then he breaks up into many different forms and many different components. But it's not the question that, it doesn't seem at least, that the question is, or at least one of the main expressions of the question, is a question which a religious person would ask. In other words, the question of my Yisro Marom B'chol HaMolo, and the support, I mean, which he brings more than once for that question. For instance, in the that's in Beis Yud Gimel Yud Dalet. But then he says, so he talks about the advantage of Chachma, but then he says, in the end of Yudalad, V'yadati gam oni shem mikra echa yikra as kulam, that one fate will befall all of them. Chacham ein v'rosh v'aksuba choshecholech. The Chacham is the intelligent person, and there's no comparison, because there's Yisrael l'chachma n'sichlus, ki Yisrael n'har man choshech, he can't compare the two. Okay, but he says, V'yadati gam oni, but I know shemikra echad yikrasku, that one fate will befall all of them. The chacham, with all his intelligence, and no matter how great chachma is and how superior the life of the chacham is, but nevertheless, one, they suffer a common fate. V'amarti ani belibi, next pasuk tesvav, kimikri aksil gamani ikreni, that the fate of the ksil is going to happen to me. So what did I gain by being such a great chacham? V'dibarti b'libi shegam zehovo. Okay, some want to say kigam zehovo means the idea is wrong. It doesn't fit in with the literal flow of the psukim, because it's havel avolam is not on what he's saying. Havel avolam is on the things he's describing. So v'dibarti b'libi shegam zehovo means that this. So Ibn Ezra says, Zuha Chachma. He says, Gamze Avol, he says, Vamati, Alam Chamti, he says, Vidibati believe she Gamzu a Chachma y Havel. So all this Chachma is also Havel. Yep. So I mean, the question seems to be, what is a religious person wouldn't ask us such a question? A religious person has a very simple solution to all this. You say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov. And if you understand that a little deeper, you understand that you have Chachma, which is really over both instinctual forces, B'shnei Yitzrecha, and really the whole Nisayin, you have Bechira, and the whole Nisayin in life is really to, the Torah maps out very clearly what the course of a person's life is supposed to be, and therefore, and the person who lives in accordance with that life that the Torah describes is zochet chay olam haba. I mean, what's chay olam hazeh? I mean, it's chay olam haba, nitzchius. So it would seem that the simple-minded religious individual, religious person, has no need, a simple solution for the entire Kahelis. What do we need the whole Kahelis for? And the fact that that a person dies, So he dies. So what? So what is that? Why should that affect any? Why on the contrary? The fact that he dies means that he enters into a different sphere of existence, Hasharas HaNefesh. And Hasharas HaNefesh, I mean, there, he's rewarded for being able to overcome the evil inclination and exercising his Bechira properly. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says that the Chachamim are all, they're all mispalal, and they do the mitzvahs kedei sheyizkeh l'chayim habaim. So apparently that's the ultimate. So why is he so disturbed about that, you see? And then again, he brings it up again. I mean, that to me seems to me, I mean, there are many arguments here, but this one stands out. And then he brings it up again. He says, like this. This is he brings it up again. Just a second. Yeah, the Kehelas Gimel Yates. Ki mikra v'nei ha'odom u'mikra ha'behemo u'mikra echad lahem. There's one fate for man, for the animal. They both have one fate. K'mozeh, kein mozeh. Like this one dies, that one dies. Baruch echad lakol. U'mosar ha'odom and ha'behemo ayin. There's no superiority for man over the animal. Ki ha'kol havel. Hakol halach al makom echad. Hakol hayom enafa. Hakol shevel afa. Mi yodei aruch bnei adam ala hi lamala. Who understands that idea? Ruach abeima yoredes hi lamata laretz. Okay. Yeah. Then he says, "Varisi kein tov meshay yismach adam b'masav ki uchalko. Ki mi yivienu liros meshay achra." Sounds like a strange transition, but anyways, what is the answer? I mean, what is the answer? You don't need a whole Sefer Kehelas, I would say. You ask a very simple-minded, he's not a Shlomo HaMelech, he's not a very big Chacham, he's just an ordinary, plain, religious person, it seems, has the whole solution. I can't think of it. I'm asking you the question. All right, I'm asking you a question. How would you answer this question? It seems to me, I mean, that's the most basic point that you have to use. And again, I mean, I, at the risk of being repetitious, I mean, you know, we've gone through Kehelas a number of times, but I think it's important sometimes to go through a thing, look it over. I mean, every year, you know, like Kehelas, hopefully you see it a little clearer. You see the outline of what the Sefer is about. It's an unbelievable Sefer, and what it's about, and you gain insight into the Sefer. So I would say that if in approaching the Sefer, this would be the question that is the most primary question that one should ask with regard to the Sefer. What do you need it for? What do you need it for? You know, it's funny thing. Chazal said, the Gemara says in Shabbos, everybody knows the famous Gemara, Bikshu Ligno Sefer Kehelas. It's funny Gemara, though. The Gemara says, why do they want to be going to Sefer Kehelas? Neshe Dvarav Sosrim says that. All right, so the Gemara shows a couple of apparent contradictions. I mean, I would have said, Bikshu Ligna Sefer Kehelas, Neshe Dvarav Sosrim L'Divrei Torah L'Emunas Hadas. You're telling people that K'nikra Behemo Mikra Echad Lahem. So that means there's nothing. There's no Hasharas HaNefesh and Mi Yodea. Okay, so he says Mi Yodea. As we explained, Mi Yodea doesn't mean who knows. It means he who knows, because there's no Hey Hayadia afterwards. Mi Yodea Nefesh. Ibn Ezra shows that Mi Yodea Nefesh. Mi Yodea Ruach Bnei HaAdam HaOlai LaMala VeRuach HaBehema Yeredesi LaMata LaAretz. I mean, it's a famous pasuk. Of course, cite this pasuk, but they don't learn diktuk properly, because the proper diktuk is not that it's a denial. He's saying no. He doesn't say Mi Yodea Ruach Bnei HaAdam HaRuach Bnei HaAdam Olehi Lamala. It says Ruach Bnei HaAdam HaOlehi Lamala. The Ruach, and that goes Lamala. So it's not a question of whether there is Hasharas HaNefesh. He's just saying that very few people know that. It's a rare. A rare individual that can understand that. Okay, what that's doing is a separate question. But nevertheless, I mean, the whole gist of the Sefer seems to be against the basic, the most simple principles that every person, every individual who is a religious person lives by, namely that there's no problem like Kehelas, and what's the problem? You have Bechira, you have Bechira Chofshis, and the Torah tells you exactly how to exercise your Bechira, and you Zocha L'chai Olam Abba. What's wrong? What's wrong with that? So what? So the fact is, so it appears like the Nefesh Adam is like Nefesh Man, because they both die physically. So they both die physically, so that's in this existence. What's the problem? So in this existence, they both seem to have a common fate. So many things you have in common with the behemoth. The Chazal say that man and the behemoth have things in common. So what's the problem? You see? Yeah.
The fact that he doesn't distribute anything.
That's what it is. I mean, that's what the Sadi Gaon says, that people think that they could do anything, but let's see how they stand up against an army with military power and weaponry, and they're going to think they're going to win with toothpicks. We see how it works. I mean, you think doesn't mean it's true. There's a reality. I mean, this is the basic question. Yeah. On the contrary, I would say dwarf sosum yisori ados, because yisori ados says there's asharas anefesh and schar vonesh and bechira and chayol amabo. I mean, and Mashiach, and even Tchias HaMesim, and all these things. I mean, all these things are nothing. I mean, what's the problem here? What's the problem? What is Kehela's problem? Okay, yeah. That's, you see, they don't understand that. I hear what you're saying. You're saying I don't see it. But you see, that also is a very poor philosophical argument, because philosophers have shown that what appears to the fool, based upon what he sees, is not reality. And as a matter of fact, every chachma always shows that. Every chachma, I don't care if it's mathematics, if it's astronomy, if it's physics, whatever chachma, psychology, whatever chachma you go into, you always see immediately that what the fool thinks is reality is not. I mean, that's what chachma does. So what do I care if it doesn't appear as if the life of the chachma is superior? So what? But a person who lives with the ideas, and he knows that this world is not really the purpose of his existence, and the purpose of his existence is Chai Olam Abba, and he's living with that in mind, doesn't he have a different quality of life? Doesn't every religious person argue that? What do you mean? I mean, I have a different quality of life, because I'm living with the idea of Chai Olam Abba. I don't care about Chai Olam Azeh. It doesn't bother me. You see? So the question is, I mean, so what is this problem? I mean, a long sefer, on something which, I mean, it would seem any religious individual could just remove the whole kasha. There's no kasha. There's no avel avolim, and everything's fine. I mean, that's the way people think. I mean, I know that people, everybody reads Kehelas, but I mean, I don't think people really feel that this is shaking their whole modus operandi. I mean, they feel that, you know, it's whatever. It's some deep ideas here, but it doesn't really affect them. I mean, their life is based upon a very simple premise. So what's wrong with that premise? How does Sefer Kehelas? I mean, why is he bothered all these questions? Very simple idea, simple notion. The most simple individual. I mean, the most simple individual could lives by this thought. And you see, Balei Tshuva. I mean, today, Balei Tshuva, people that know relatively nothing about the Yahadus, and with a simple idea like this, that they change our lives, and I mean, they live by this idea. It sounds wonderful, fine. Kehelas does have. There's no problem with Kehelas. You don't have to be such a big chacham. Simple thought, simple idea. What's the problem? It's not so much to give a new idea, but to simply rephrase, to show the framework of the. In other words, I'm looking for an answer that fits, that's a categorical answer. I mean, either the simple ideas are true or they're not true. If they're true, you don't tell us. If they're not true, so you're telling me these ideas are incorrect. I mean, the Yisodia does maintain these ideas. So it seems that there's no room for Kehelas. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Either it's true or it's not true. Take your choice. Say it's not true, so then you're questioning Yisodei Das. You say it's true, it's very simple, you don't need Kehelas. What's the answer? Yeah. How would you answer the question?
someone called about a conference call.
Yeah.
Well, so then he explains all the things he did. And he says, "Gadalti v'asafti mikol she'el afan v'rishlayim." And then he says, "Afchach masi amdali." And he says, "Ufonisani b'chol masai she'osu yodai uve'omol she'amalti lasos." And this is the conclusion. V'ne'akol hevel rus ruach v'ein yisro n'tachas hashemesh. Okay. So now the question, of course, is, I mean, what kind of a philosophical approach is this? Philosophers have, when you approach a thing philosophically, you don't find out whether chilush si and taiva is the right life or not by being ochel v'shosa. I mean, that's not the approach. The way you do it is through philosophical speculation and analysis of a different of each lifestyle. And then you see based upon your intellectual analysis, so you draw a conclusion. I mean, every person has to draw a conclusion in his life, what he's going to do. And as it should be based, a person's a philosopher. A person's not a philosopher, so he just goes going to what feels good to him. But if a person is a philosopher, a deeper thinker, so he analyzes it. He doesn't indulge in the taiva to see whether the taiva is good. It doesn't make any sense. You see, so why does Shlomo HaMelech, I mean, he starts off with this strange thing that no philosopher ever thought of. No philosopher ever thought of such an idea. That the way to find out which is the good life is to try the lifestyles. There's a medrash, try the lifestyle. What kind of an approach is this? This is what we have to understand. Here is the clue to the whole Sefer Kehelis and whereby it differs from other philosophical works. What's the answer to this question? The answer to this question is that Kehelis wasn't merely trying to show. If Kehelis wanted to show which life is better, then he wouldn't have any problem. He wouldn't have any problem. First of all, he'd say what he said in the end. So he had the Teres HaLakim, and there's no question. That's not the question, you see. What Kehelis wanted to show, or if he wanted to show which life is superior, he could have used arguments like philosophers do to show that the life of Chochmah is superior. As a matter of fact, he says himself that way, because he doesn't deny that. He says, So Kehelis really, you see, Kehelis isn't satisfied in showing us and teaching us that the life of Chochma and Torah is preferable to the life of Taiva. That's not what he says. So in other words, philosophers will show you that the life of Chochma, not just the Torah, I mean many, many philosophers who are great Chachamim, Rambam mentioned them, came to the same conclusion as our conclusion, as the conclusion of the others. That the life of Chochmah, it's not that hard to come to that conclusion. But it requires a person that's a thinker. I mean, I don't mean that the average person will do that. The average person can't do that. It's not in this realm. But for a thinker, many thinkers have come to the same conclusion. But what does Kehelis not satisfied with that? Why isn't he satisfied with that? Because he is not simply saying that a person that engages in the life of Taiva is missing out on the life of Chochmah. You see, a superior life, and he's wasting his life because he could have done something better. That he's not saying. He's saying that the person who engages in the life of Taiva, who's involved in the life of Taiva, is involved in a frustrating pursuit.
More enjoyable.
No. Without comparison. It's not a comparative analysis. He's not comparing the life of Taiva with the life of Chochmah. He's trying to show, Kehelis is showing, that the life of Taiva per se is a life which is intrinsically frustrating and painful. It's intrinsically frustrating and painful. It's a different, he's on a different wavelength. He's thinking differently. He's trying to show you a different idea, not what the philosophers try to show you, namely the life of Chochmah is superior. That's not what he's trying to show you something else. He's trying to show you that the life of Taiva is frustrating. In other words, what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is like this. See, if a person, let's say a person will spend his time amassing fortunes and living in beautiful homes and having expensive cars and things like that. So a philosopher will say, look, you wasted your life. You could have spent your life in Chachma. And Chachma is far superior. And this, you know, and with all the arguments that a philosopher would use, which are correct. But Shlomo Melech wouldn't say that. Shlomo Melech is saying something else. He's saying that you have engaged in a totally frustrating activity. And as a matter of fact, right now, after you secured what you wanted to secure, you are far less happy and in a much worse state than you were before you even started. You see? And that's what he's saying. If you look carefully, you see that's what Shlomo Melech is saying. It's a different argument. His argument is that the person whose life's pursuit is the amassing of wealth and all the description, all the things he gives, the beautiful homes and all the things that people pursue, he's saying that the Ra'isiani, what is it? He says, Ufanisani, excuse me. He's saying it's all frustration. It's intrinsically worthless. I would have been better off had I not done anything. See, that's a different argument. A different argument. Shlomo Melech's argument, what? Correct. Yes, you're right. That's what he's showing. He's showing you all these things. Shlomo Melech's argument is a different kind of an argument. His argument is not which one is better. His argument is that the pursuit of the material is worse than zero. It's not a question of, is the pursuit of the material the correct pursuit, or should I rather pursue the life of Chachma? It's not his question. He's not saying that. He's saying that the pursuit of the material is intrinsically frustrating, and he who arrives in the end of his journey at succeeding is less happy than he was when he started out. That's basically what he's saying. You see? It's a different concept. It's an interesting thing. We have to ask, of course, why? I mean, why does he care about that? What is the significance of that? So what? I mean, you know, there are a lot of things you can analyze, but a lot of things Chazal said, Dvarim Shel Mabakach. I mean, who cares? So let's say it's not intrinsically. All I have to show you is that the life of the world of Chochma and Chochma Satara, that's a superior life. So that seems to be enough practically. You see, why does he have to show you? Why is he interested in showing you? That's what it says. Hevel ru'us ruach. Ru'us ruach means frustration. That's what it means. Hevel means it's an illusion, and it was all an illusion now, he sees, and now it's all frustration. All ends up in frustration. You see, so he's showing you that this is worse than nothing. He's not saying that it's a question of which one's better. That's why he says, that's why he doesn't care. He agrees. Which is the better life? That's not a problem. He knows which is the better life. Problem is, that seems to be the problem. Okay? But in his analysis of the Taivas, it's a different kind of analysis. You see, now why, from the answer to that question, to the question of why he's interested in analyzing it from that perspective, you see, really gives you the key to what the whole Sefer is about. To what the Sefer is about, and what the Sefer of Kehelas is zeroing in on a very specific aspect of human existence. It's not, you know, I mean, it's, you know, for every a philosopher who's a chacham doesn't just mix everything together. I mean, you have to analyze everything in its own sphere as one subject. You have to understand what the subject matter of Kehelas is. This question leads you to what the subject matter is. This question. The question, namely, as to why he's concerned about that. Why does he care to demonstrate that you're better off? You'll be better off. See, that's the Havel Avolim. It's not a question of what is a better life. Havel Avolim means that it's all intrinsic frustration. See, it's intrinsic frustration. So why does he care if there's intrinsic frustration? I mean, that a person who who lives with such an idea is basically a depressed individual. I mean, a depressed individual. As a matter of fact, he says that there are certain things that's better off we don't know, and better off we don't know. He says, Gimel Yud Aleph, yeah, correct, right. Where he says that in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, Akol Asa Yafa Bito, Gam Es Olam Nasan Belibam, Mibli Asher Lo Yimtza Adam Es Amas Asher Asa Lekim Arash Vatzof. That the world is set up in a way that a person doesn't know, he can't see the end. And Rashi says that's a reference not just to the whole scheme of creation, but it's a reference to the individual's end. He says, "Shim yedo adam yom misaso krova." A person would know that. If a person knows he's going to die soon, he's not going to build a house, he's not going to plant the vineyard, he's not going to be involved in any kind of progress. So what is he showing you? I mean, what is he trying to show you with the idea that that even the greatest success results intrinsically in frustration? What path is he taking us on with that idea? That's the question. What path is he taking us on with that point? What's the answer? Yeah. The answer is like this. You see, really, A religious person is only, when I say religious person, I mean a person that's not a chacham, but a person that's just a simple religious individual, is really concerned, and rightfully so, as to what he should do. I mean, what kind of a life he should pursue. Certain ideas occur to him that make sense. If he's fortunate to come in contact with Yahadus, and then he follows that course. Once he sees, for instance, that Chaye Olam Chaye Nitzchi is really superior to Chaye Shor, that doesn't seem too difficult for a person to understand, so then his problem's resolved. I mean, that's the end of the problem. He doesn't need Kahelas, you see. What he doesn't do is, that's a person that's not a chacham, not a true chacham, but a person that is a deeper individual is concerned not just with a path of life, what to do, but he's also concerned with how the one you're telling to do it will experience that life. Do you understand what I mean? It's not a question of what is superior and what is inferior, you see. It's a question of you're giving me a plan, but how does the plan fit with the individual that you're prescribing it for? You understand what I mean? I mean, if you would tell, for instance, I mean, if you would tell a horse that it's better to study mathematics, supposing a horse could perceive such an idea, I mean, it'd be true. Well, you can use all the arguments, but the problem is the horse is not capable of doing that. You see, so a chacham is not happy with simply a solution as what is superior and what is inferior and what is better and what is worse. The question is, how does that fit the creature that you're prescribing this for, you see? And if it doesn't fit, it could be the best thing in the world, but it still doesn't work. You follow? You see, that is really what Kehelas is all about. Kehelas is not about the religious question. When Carol says, Eizetov, when he first starts off with his experiment, he doesn't mean which one he should choose. If you look at Tirgum, the Tirgum says, Adi Bechonis V'chazis Eidein Minhon. It means until he experiences and sees, Bechonis tests and sees. What's the difference? It's not a question of which way to live. The question is to be Bochain and see. To see how this life, which you're telling me is the correct life, fits the individual that you're prescribing it for. So you can't just solve life. The biggest dilemma in life as to what we should do in this existence. You can't just solve that by showing me what is better. You see, that's not the approach of a chacham. You have to show me what is better, and you have to show me how the prescription that you're presenting fits the creature that you're prescribing it for. I mean, you can have the best prescription, but it doesn't fit the patient. So what good is it? You see, that's really what the Sefer is about. You see, the Sefer is about, that's why Shlomo HaMelech goes off into a vast expanse, a vast investigation. Why? He says, I wanted to see what Sichlus is, what the definition of Reshan, Chachma, and every aspect of human life. Because he says, without understanding a human being, I don't care what you say, but the fact is, yeah, it's very good. It's very good. You'll tell me what the best life is. Yeah, but what about the individual that you're prescribing it for? Is he built for that? How is he structured? If he's not structured for that, so what good is it? Yeah, of course, you'll tell a person the best thing would be to be a malach. Yeah, but you're not a malach. So what good is it? In other words, what good is it to give me a derech hachayim without understanding how that derech hachayim fits the individual? In order to know if it fits the individual, you have to study the individual. And that's why he's not happy with saying which life is better. He must show you, what he's trying to show you is that in the life of, in the material life, it's not simply a question of a loss of the choice. And the material life leads intrinsically to frustration, shows you something about man. He's not interested in putting down the material life. What he wants to show you is in that he's showing you that this demonstrates something very interesting about man. You see, and once you see what it is, then you get a different picture of man, and a whole different problem emerges. See, a whole different problem emerges, and this problem has to be resolved. And if you don't resolve this problem, you can't live like a chacham. A person can be religious, doesn't necessarily mean he's a chacham. I mean, to be a chacham in Yahadis requires an awful lot. Just because a person is a shomer the das of Yahadis, that's very small in our eyes. I mean, it's a wonderful thing, but there's a big distance. And there's no comparison between the Am Haaretz who follows the Torah and between the Talmud Chacham whose whole life revolves around Chachmas Hashem. So it's a different kind of an understanding. You see, that really is Keheles. That's Keheles. Keheles goes into the question of what is the nature of man and how can we understand. Yeah, it's very nice to tell a person to be religious and keep thinking about Olam Haba. But is that in line with his nature? Well, that's not in line with his nature. So if it's not in line with his nature, so you're telling him to do something which maybe he thinks he could do, and maybe he could do occasionally, and maybe sometimes he's up, sometimes he's down, but I mean, really, if it's not for him, he's just fooling himself, and he's living a life which is not appropriate for him. That doesn't make any sense. You cannot say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created a Bria and gave him a life, and this life doesn't fit. Now, if you don't understand, if you don't analyze it, you'll just say it fits. Yeah, but things aren't that simple. Because it may fit, but if you don't know how it fits, so then you really are not partaking of the proper thing. You understand what I'm saying? No, it's not a question. Over here, when it comes to a human being's life, it's not simply a question of does it fit or not. Because if a certain thing fits physically, if you need a certain cog and a certain wheel, if the cog fits, that's it, it fits. What do I care why? It fits, it works. But over here, with regard to the Chayei Adam, even if it fits, but if the person doesn't see why and how and where it fits, it, insofar as his life is concerned, it's valueless. You see, I mean, I'm not saying he's not better off in some way, but that's the life of an Amoritz. You know what I mean? He's better off. Everybody that keeps Yehadis is better off in some way, and many times in many, 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 many ways that they don't even realize. Okay, but that's not really the ultimate life that the Torah wants a person to have. The Torah doesn't want a person to have the life of a Shoma Torah Mitzvahs on the level of an Amoritz, like the Rambam says. That's not Ein Roy Lodom Lavadus Hashem B'Derech Hazeh. I don't say not to do it. It's better than much better than any other life still. But that's not what the Yehadis wants. Okay, Yehadis wants a person to really live like a Chacham and to understand. If you don't understand that, the understanding itself is part of the life. So if you don't have the understanding, you can't have the life. You see, and that's what Keheles is about. So what does Keheles? We look through Keheles. Now, what does he tell us about it? Interesting. So what does Keheles, what does he tell us? I mean, what does he say really? What does he say? What is he saying about man? He's making a statement about man. He's saying it fits or it doesn't fit. What does he say? What does he say, basically? What he says about man is as follows. You see, man, of course, is looking for happiness. Every person is looking for happiness. That's what every individual is looking for, no matter what path they take, whether it's a rush or tzaddik, doesn't matter. I mean, every individual, the course they take, they think on some level, they are convinced that this is going to lead to their happiness. Yeah. Okay. But what Keheles singles out is one aspect of human life. One aspect, one feature of human life that it would seem a human being cannot escape from. He can't get away from that. And that's something which is always going to be there in his nature. And since it's part of his nature, you see, he can't sidestep it. And if it's not satisfied, there's going to be something missing, basically. Yeah, what is that? What does he identify? What does Shlomo Melech identify in so far as a person's life is concerned, an element of a person's life which is part of his nature and which creates a problem in so far as what the religious person, the religionist, is suggesting as a way of life? What is it? What does he identify? What does he identify? Yeah, happiness is a very broad category. But there is, under happiness, there is a subcategory that's very significant. What is the subcategory that he identifies? You see? The subcategory that he identifies is accomplishment. Accomplishment. Human accomplishment. That's the basic study of what of the whole Keheles. Is that a person desires, is moved in his life, and he can't escape this force, this internal force, and whatever form is going to take, it still boils down to one concept. And what is the concept? To accomplish, accomplishments. And basically, the whole Sefer really shows one thing. The Sefer shows that accomplishment is not possible. See? The idea of accomplishment for man, not only is it not possible, but insofar as man pursues it, it always ends in frustration. Always ends in frustration. You see? That's why when he's not interested, when he talks about all the experimentation, the reason why he resorts to experimentation is because he's studying the effects in the human personality of certain experiences. So you can't just be philosophical and say, well, this life is better than that. He's trying to see whether in human life, you see, the experience of a sense of accomplishment is possible. And therefore, you have to study the emotions and how the emotions relate back the information to the individual after he engages in certain activities and certain processes. So it's not enough, really. He wasn't satisfied with this philosophical argument. What he wanted was, what he needed was, besides the philosophical, was the psychological structure of the human mind. And if you don't have a, if you don't see what the psychological structure of the human mind is, doesn't help you, the philosophy. Doesn't help you, you see? So that's why he says, in terms, and basically the whole Sefer, I mean, good part of Sefer, is this idea. It's the breakdown of accomplishment. He shows the in the material world, all the accomplishment that the individual searches for, when he experiences it, it is something other than what he thought it was at first. That's the first breakdown. And there's intrinsic frustration that he was looking for one thing, and ufanisiane, when I took a look at what the reality of my activities were, it was something different. I call Hevel Rizroch. I did not get the satisfaction. Psychologically, he's saying there's a mental trick that takes place where a person starts out and he's convinced that he's going to have a certain experience, but after all the struggle and all the work, when he gets there and he looks back at it, it's a different kind of a thing than he had imagined. That's one. Then he breaks down accomplishment from every single aspect. He breaks it down because accomplishment for man has to be something substantial. So there he shows, so if you're going to show me something is very temporary, very ephemeral, it doesn't exist very long, so then, I mean, it lacks in terms of, it's not a bar hochi of human accomplishment. So he shows that. So he shows, and insofar as he takes every single pursuit, whether it's the material pursuit, and he says, because in order to do this, you see, you have to understand, in order to investigate this area, you can't just say, a religious person wouldn't investigate this area. I mean, what are you investigating? A guy accumulated a lot of wealth? I mean, yeah, that's it. That's a tithe. It's nothing. No, but if you want to understand how man is structured in terms of his sense of accomplishment, you have to take every single possibility. You have to be honest. You can't say that. Your life of terror is real life, so that's the only experience. No, if you want to really understand it, so you have to experience all the various avenues that the human emotion lends itself to. If that's what you're interested in, and that's why he's honest, that's what Chazal said, that he, as the Medrash says, that he tried everything. What does it mean? It means, of course it means that an ordinary individual couldn't do that because you can't be honest with it. It's very hard to be honest in that situation because the Torah is very overwhelming. But he was able to do it. He was able to be totally objective, to indulge the Torah in so far as was necessary for the experiment, and then to rationally understand the effect that it has on his mind and to be able to define it properly. So his definition was basically that every avenue you take, the sense of accomplishment will never be satisfied. First, he takes the material world. He says that it wasn't what he thought he would attain. Besides that, he says, all the problems of something which a person considers has to be something permanent. And you see he's going to die. And you'll say, well, leave it to his children. But his children, I mean, how does he know what's going to happen? So again, the sense of accomplishment is nothing. Moreover, he says, and a lot of psukim, he says, that you see, this matas elokimi. What does matas elokimi mean? It means to say that some people are fortunate, and you see that which you struggled and worked for, but this fellow just happened to inherit all this, is the same thing. He has the same thing as you. So how can you feel a sense of accomplishment? If something's possible through you worked and struggled for 40 years, and this fellow just got it like that, is born into it, I mean, so where's the sense of accomplishment? And moreover, there doesn't seem to be any rules as to how long it lasts or what's going to happen. And suddenly you worked very hard and then all of a sudden something comes, the whole apricot is turned over and everything's lost. I mean, so how could you possibly ascribe accomplishment to this? What he does is basically, if you study the Sefer carefully, you'll see he breaks down the sense of human accomplishment from every single facet. from every possible way as to why that sense is not possible for a human being, whether it's in the material world or whether it's in the even in the world of Chachma. Even in the world of Chachma. Because a person can certainly feel a sense of accomplishment in the world of Chachma. But that's where he says, yeah, you feel that you're great, you're accomplished because of your Chachma, and you're the greatest Chachma in the world, and therefore you deserve it to feel a sense of accomplishment. Yeah, but kimikra behema gama kimikra chsil gama niyakreni. So how is it possible in the world of Chachma? There you can't. In every area you have to look at the area, and you have to look at what the breakdown for the area is. In the world of in the material world, so there's a lot of breakdowns. Breakdown that it could happen to somebody else arbitrarily, accidentally. That it could be taken away. That it could be given to somebody without any effort. So all these break down the idea of accomplishment. In the world of Chachma, you can't say that. Because in the world of Chachma, you can't get it unless you work for it. And it can't just fall in on somebody. It doesn't work that way. And they can't take it away from you either. Yeah, but the only thing is, but can mikri achsil gamani akrani? That's not, that reality is not in line with the accomplishment of Chachma. The accomplishment of Chachma would say that there's such a difference between these two individuals. A person that's the greatest Chacham, that could think every moment of his life, he's thinking, he's understanding the universe, he's understanding Chachmas Olakim, and he dies with the same biological phenomena as a total fool, a total imbecile. I mean, in 5 minutes they're both the same and nothing's left. The sense of accomplishment, it cannot be applied. A person psychologically, it's disturbing. It doesn't permit him to have that sense of accomplishment. You see, I'll tell me, chaye olam haba. The question is, let's get back to the question, the basic question. I mean, basically, I just want to show you what is the format is before we take that question. That's basically the format of the sefer. To have the best life, you have to be able to satisfy the creature that you're giving the prescription for. And if he looks for a sense of accomplishment, and that's part of his nature, so you can't just tell him abandon it. I mean, you can't just tell him abandon it. It's an interesting thing. He has an approach here that is a partial solution. That is a partial solution to this problem. You see, he says like this. After he says Kemikri Achsil Gamani Yekraini, he says, well, Lama Chacham Tini as Yasser. Well, what did I gain? He says, then he goes on, he says, Ein Tov Bodom Chavdalat, Ein Tov Bodom Sheyochal Vishoso, Vehero Asnafsho Tov Ba'amolo, Gamzo Ra'isi Oni Kimiyado Lakimi. Then he says, Ein Tov Bodom. What he's saying is that the only thing, what is good for man is, I'm in different pasuk. Kaelas Gimel Chav Beis. It's almost the same, but this is different. V'ra'isi ki ein tov me'asha yisma chodam b'ma'asof ki hu chalko. Ki mi yivyen liros b'meshi yi'acharov. See, that pasuk. Ki ein tov me'asha yisma chodam b'ma'asof ki hu chalko. What is he saying over there? He's proposing a semi-solution to the problem. What's his semi-solution? Semi-solution is like this. Which means to say, in terms of accomplishment, you're right. So you can't attach accomplishment to something that has no real mamoshes of existence, because you're going to say that it's going to be gone in a second. I mean, that's it. My life can be over in a minute and everything's gone. Boom. I mean, you can't attach a sense of accomplishment to that. But, he says, but there is something you can do, and that is, sheyisma ha'odam b'masav ki hu chalka. What he's saying over here is, he's saying there's a difference between pleasure and happiness. That a person can still direct his energies towards pleasurable activities, even though the sense of accomplishment is something that he can't attain. You see, I mean, you have to understand, he goes through the problem on every level, and he throws in partial solutions. Well, he explores the entire area. Over there, he gives a partial solution. That namely, that a person can say, okay, so I can't have happiness, because happiness is dependent upon being happy with myself, thinking about myself in a way that makes me very happy, and that's dependent upon accomplishment. Accomplishment is not possible, so that's not possible. It doesn't rule out, however, doesn't mean the person should give up from life. No, he can still enjoy, he can still have pleasurable activities. You see, he mentions that. But apparently, even though he mentions that, he realizes it's only a semi-solution to the problem, because the problem still prevails. So how does a person solve the problem, and why, and what's the answer? Why can't a person say that his accomplishment is he has a sense of accomplishment in terms of he's living the correct life in Asharas and Nefesh and Chai Olam Haba? Why can't he do that? Why can't he feel that way? You see, he rules out that kind of a life in one pasuk, really. Where he says, "Al titztakabe, al teschakam yoser, lama tishomen." You see, "Al titztakabe" means don't throw yourself. There he's talking about, it's a little different. He's talking about don't throw yourself into the sphere of being enamored with yourself, with your religiosity. You see, that's a certain type of a life. Where a person throws themselves into a feeling that they're big, tzaddikim and they're enjoying the fact that they're tzaddikim. He says that life doesn't work either. Why? Val teschakam yoser also. The same thing can be done with chachma too. That the person throws himself into the sphere that his whole life he's happy with the accomplishment that he's a chachma, that he's a tzaddik. See that? He says lama teshomen. He says that leads to that's going to lead to destruction. Because the person psychologically is not going to be able to exist in that kind of an existence. But that's one thing we have to understand. And also, what's wrong with the original question? Why can't we say that the person is very happy with the sense of accomplishment of Chayal Mabar? What's wrong with that? Why can't he say that? Yes. The question is. Why can't the person feel a sense of self-importance, accomplishment, insofar as his status with regard to Chai Olam Haba? He knows that he has Chai Olam Haba. So you're telling me maybe he's misupik, he doesn't know, even though Amalek said he didn't know. I hear that's a good point, but nevertheless, it doesn't remove the question. Why can't the person feel a sense of self-importance, and if he knows, insofar as he can assess, and he can't do more than that, that he is living a life which will give him the results of Chai Olam Haba. So why can't he be happy with that? The Yisron is that sense. That's what people are looking for, the Yisron. And the hevel is the frustration. It's the opposite. Those are the two terms there. So he's saying there's no Yisron. There is no lifestyle that's going to give you that. Why can't this lifestyle do it for you? Now, I think the reason is, you see, the reason, like, I think you're approaching it, but I think to hit it on the head, the reason is that if you're looking for a sense, if a person is looking for a sense of accomplishment, or a sense of self-importance, the experience that he is looking for has to partake of that type of a thing. It can't be an experience which is completely removed and is opposite to that sense, because the sense can't attach itself to something like that. Now, in Chai Olam Haba, really, is a situation where the soul looks completely outward, which means Chachamim Yoshim Atrasim Rashayim and enemies of Ashkina, which means to say that there is no thought in that situation concerning the self, where all the energy is directed in an outward, outwardly, in other words, into Chachmas Hashem. So a person cannot experience. Now, what the person is looking for in terms of self accomplishment is an enjoyment insofar as the person reflects on themselves. That's the nature of what they're searching for, you see. So you cannot find satisfaction in something which is completely the opposite of that which you are looking for. You understand what I mean? In other words, you're looking for happiness. What is happiness? Happiness is when a person feels good about themselves. And that demands a certain type or form or whatever of accomplishment. And therefore, you can never find that in an experience which is completely antithetical, in other words, which is looking out away from the self. You see? See, that's really what he means when he says, "Umiyodea nefesh ha'odom ha'ola hilamola." It means that's an intellectual grasp. Some people could know that, but then it becomes nefesh ha'odom ha'ola hilamola, into a different sphere of activity that the individual who lives here cannot use that to satisfy his needs and his desire for accomplishment. Because it's something which you can perceive intellectually, but once you grasp it intellectually, it's lamala. It's a different kind of an activity. It's an activity where the individual is looking completely outwardly. So you can't take an experience which is an outward experience and has nothing to do with itself and say that I'm going to attach my sense of accomplishment and feeling of self-worth to that. That's a virtual impossibility, because it's antithetical in structure and substance to what you're looking for. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's as if a person would say, you can feel good about yourself, because in a short while you'll never think about yourself again. You see? It's antithetical. You can't satisfy. You follow? That's what he means. Mi yodea nefesh ha'odom ha'ola hi lamala. Who knows that? Meaning to say, that's an area which requires great knowledge, but it's a completely intellectual phenomenon, and it basically has nothing to do with his, with what he's looking for in terms of a sense of accomplishment, because it's alien. It's the nature of things. It's completely antithetical. It's opposite. You can't enjoy that. Yeah. So what is the solution really? It's a big problem. So what is the solution? What is the solution really? So the solution really is it's a double solution really. He has a double solution. The double solution is where he says that first part, where he says Ein Tov LaAdam, that he Reisik Ein Tov Meshe Yismach Adam Amasov Kihu Chalko. So that means that man can find man in this existence. It's true that the sense of accomplishment that the person is overpowered with can never be satisfied. Does that mean that his existence... You see, Kehelis is based on a premise. The premise is that man, that in Sheishis Yimei Bereishis, where the Torah describes the existence of man, the Torah does not say that God created man for Olam Haba. It doesn't say that. It doesn't talk about Olam Haba. Which means man's nature is such that he has a tzelem elokim, and since he has a tzelem elokim, it continues beyond his physical existence. That's correct. But he's a full creature over here. In other words, you have to talk about Adam insofar as he is vayiyadol nefesh chaya. You can't talk about Adam insofar as olam haba. That's a different aspect. That's an aspect of his existence, is Asharas HaNefesh. But man per se, you have to look at man as to what he is here. So you can't say, for instance, that a person, it would be wrong, Shlomach would never accept the idea, say that God created man in a way that this existence over here is terrible. But the only thing is that the whole thing is for Olam HaBa. That would mean that insofar as man exists here, He's not, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create a creature that can exist properly over here. That will be a lack in the Bria. See, it's true that there's Hasharas HaNefesh, but you cannot say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a Bria over here, which is completely doesn't make any sense as existence, and the only thing that's going to make sense is afterwards. And then there's no... So then what's the whole purpose of a Bria Sa'adam? What's the whole purpose of Bria Sa'adam? You say that Bria Sa'adam is a type of situation which had no real perfection, doesn't express the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It has to be, you have to look at man, like for instance, where the Rambam says that man has four perfections. He says the basic, the furthest removed, he says, is the financial. And the next farther removed is the physical. And the next is the psychological. And the next is the intellectual. So the fact that the Rambam mentions that means that you have to be able to look at man as an entity, as one entity, as an entity here. You have to look at man as an entity here in this existence. And then you have to show me how in this existence there is a type of life which is appropriate for this existence and also contains a Hasharas HaNefesh. But you can't simply bypass this existence. You see, that Shlomo HaMelech would not accept. That's the religious individual, the person who is just committed religiously without being a Chacham, is an individual who's trying to bypass that. You see? He's trying to bypass this existence and just say that the only thing he's doing is he's doing Olam Haba. But there's nothing over here for this life. You see, it's interesting. The Torah goes completely the opposite. Because the Torah never mentions Olam Haba. The Torah just mentions this life over here, L'man Yitav Loch, Barachta Yomim, insofar as this existence is concerned. Because the Torah looks at an Adam as a part of the Bria here. It's true he has Hasharas HaNefesh, but that's not why you should decide to live the correct life. He has to decide to live the correct life because of here. Here's a Bria. Adam has a certain configuration. His soul has a certain configuration, and therefore life has to satisfy that configuration. And that's really what Shlomo Melch, the whole Kahelis is to show you what life satisfies that individual, which is Adam. So the answer, the final answer of Shlomo Melech is a partial, is actually composed, consists of two components. One component is, you see, insofar as he's not concerned, there's no question in his mind what is the better life. And insofar as we can have a better life, there's no, that's not a question. You don't have Shlomo Melech to answer that question. That's that can be answered by Kala Terakula, and even philosophers came to that answer. But what Shlomo Melech is trying to show you is how it should fit into your nature. Okay. So therefore, insofar as that is concerned, there's two answers. One is maaseh, that a person should in this life enjoy the activities. Activities, of course, include activities of Chachma itself. Those are the most enjoyable activities, the most enjoyable. That's one, but you still cannot just say that the sense of accomplishment should be completely thwarted. That's impossible, because that's a major component of the human psyche. So what is his answer? His answer is, Sof davar kol nishma, es elokim yirav es mitzvos of shmor, kizeh kol ha'adam. That a person has to live with the satisfaction that this is kol ha'adam, there is no more, and therefore the satisfaction is that you are living in line with what the ultimate is. Do you follow? In other words, like this, your sense of satisfaction cannot find a direct object. Can't find a direct object, because any object you're going to choose is not going to work. You choose chokhmah, even you choose materials, whatever object you're going to choose, you're never going to find it. But the only object that the person can attach the sense of accomplishment to is kizeh kol ha'adam, that the knowledge, the uncovering of the knowledge, shows you that Adam cannot really find a direct object to his sense of accomplishment. But that doesn't throw the sense of accomplishment completely out of its orbit. What it does is it forces him to attach his sense of accomplishment to living the life which is the best one possible in this existence. You see? In other words, the life which Chachma dictates is the best possible for this existence. That's what man has to attach himself to. He can't attach himself to any specific object, only to the intellectual that he is living in accordance with the knowledge of what man is. And part of that knowledge is that he never really satisfy his sense of accomplishment. But the satisfaction is that he's living in line with that higher knowledge. You follow what I mean? In other words, the sense of accomplishment is satisfied through the fact that he knows that he can't attach himself to any direct object. He can only attach himself to the fact that there never will be any real satisfaction, and this is the only life for man. And that is the satisfaction. You see? What did the Amal say? V'libi cholo b'kirbi. So that means, as Ram mentions, that a person that a person by nature wants to be a Balgaiva, but the Torah is machayev an individual, and even David HaMelech, who had the greatest opportunity to feel to a sense of self-greatness, but what is it? V'libi cholo b'kirbi. It means that sense is never really satisfied. There's an empty space, like a hole in his inner lave that's never really filled and never really satisfied. But does that mean that he doesn't have any sense of accomplishment? No. The sense of accomplishment is, on the contrary, that is the way man is meant to exist. That is the way man is meant to. And since that is the only way he can exist, so the sense of accomplishment attaches itself to the results, to the intellectual results, rather than to any specific direct object. You follow me? Yeah.
Different type?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a different type of sense of accomplishment. A different kind of sense of accomplishment. The individual who follows this life, it satisfies him, it satisfies the psychological components. Because if it didn't, then you couldn't do it. So you'd be giving a prescription to somebody it's not possible for him to attain. So he can do it, but it's on a different level, a different type. It hits the person in a different area. The sense of accomplishment is satisfied in a way that's removed from the ordinary. That's why the Talmud Chacham is an individual who is happy, because he has a sense of accomplishment. But at the same time, it's libi chol b'kirbi. The person also experiences a certain vacuum insofar as his desire for accomplishment. But does that mean that he's not happy? No, it doesn't mean he's not happy. It means that's an experience, but the happiness is attained through the knowledge of the fact that he's living in accordance with the way he is designed to live. That way is not by the attainment of the sense of satisfaction from a direct object. You see? That's the idea. I mean, and that part of him will always be in frustration. V'libi chol b'kirbi means, I mean, not going to be bigger than Davar Amach. Means libi, unless the person reaches the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he's in constant state of activity. But then he's a kesechel nifrad. So such an individual, that's not Shana, he's not talking about such an individual, because that's a different thing. That's gemalach halakim. But he's talking about an individual. A normal individual, an individual insofar as he is not a malach olakim, insofar as he's still a human being, still a real human being, like a Dovra Melech, is he still will always experience that emptiness and that lack of satisfaction. But that does not mean that does not mean he's depressed, and it doesn't mean he's unhappy. It's an experience, but he is above that experience. His happiness is attained from a higher sphere. That experience is something which is a part of his psyche, but his energies are in a higher sphere, in the sphere of the knowledge of that he was designed for a certain type of activity. No, there's no question. I mean, I would say, just like the Rambam says, a person's not just like a person not born a carpenter, or a person's not born a skilled an individual in any area. It's something which has to be attained. Over here as well, it's something which he has to attain through a process of knowledge. I don't think it's possible if a person doesn't have chachma to grasp such an idea, because the idea is an attachment of the sense of satisfaction to an abstraction, not to a direct object. The abstraction is only something that the person can appreciate if the abstract is real to him. If a person is not a chacham, the Rambam mentions in one of his letters, what's the difference between a chacham and a person is not a chacham? To a chacham, the abstract is real, and to the person that's not a chacham, the physical is real. And to the person, insofar as the person is a chacham, the physical is less real, the material is less real, and the abstract is more real. You cannot have this sense of attaching your sense of satisfaction, you see, to an abstraction if abstractions are not real to you. So it's not possible for a person who is not a chacham. That's why the Sefer really was written for a chacham. Because for a person that's not a chacham, they could never attain that level. It's a different level. The person that's not a chacham is essentially, to him, what's real is the experiential. What is emotions experience? So if Libi Chol Bekirbi is going to be depressed. Libi Chol Bekirbi is nothing. He's zero. He's off of Eifer. But Avram Avinu can say, "Vanochi off of Eifer and be in the highest state of happiness," because the happiness is not attached to a direct object. It's attached to the activity which man was designed for, which is really Yedias Hashem, and that activity and the knowledge of the fact that it's only through as Elokim Yirav, as Mitzvos of Shmar, Kizek Kol Adam, that he's living in line with what Adam was, the activities that Adam was designed for. That is the sense of accomplishment. There's nothing else. There can't be any other kind of sense of accomplishment. Yeah. No. That's correct, but no, because you could do it through the... I'm not so sure it's Pshutuk HaMashmo anyways. Just because he says he did it through the experiences doesn't necessarily mean that he actually did it. I mean, you have to understand, not everything is Pshutuk HaMashmo. But the point is, the idea he's trying to get across is that it's not enough to be an abstract philosopher. You have to meet man in the experiential of his psyche. That's what he's saying. That's really what he's saying.
Even if he did it, right?
Yeah.
Now it's been done.
Correct. That's correct. You have to understand what the results were and why those results are. And once you understand the idea, it's not necessary to do it. That's a fool. Just to some duplicate every experiment, I mean, from the year one is a fool. A chacham knows it. It's just a waste of time. And moreover, many, many, many of those experiments, the person isn't objective enough to really... This is experiments with regard to the self. But again, I say, all the person has to do is have the knowledge of why it is so. Okay? It could be the first individual had to go through the experience in order to attain the knowledge. But once you have the knowledge, it's not necessary to do the experience anymore. Okay? The idea of Lishma is really for happiness. Because happiness and Lishma are synonymous. Lishma doesn't mean that everything a person does for happiness is Lishma, because he could mean down the road as it means. Lishma means that there is no further purpose. That's what Lishma means. What does Lishma mean? Lishma means for itself. For itself. Any activity which is Lishma means it's an activity which you cannot go further in. You can't say every activity we do is either a means for a further activity, or else there is no further activity. Lishma basically means there is no further activity. That's the definition of Lishma. That's what it means, for itself. Lishem what? Lishma, for itself. So if a person is learning Torah because he has in mind a further goal, that's not Lishma. If a person is learning Torah because this is it, there's nothing, there's no, this is life, there's nothing, everything a person does, see, that's what the Rambam says, that most people are so caught up in a life of doing things for another purpose that they can't do anything for its own sake, because that's alien. As society tells us, do this for that and do this for that, but it never tells you to do anything for its own sake. That's a contradiction in the material world as well, even in the material world, because the truth of the matter is that there's nothing you can do in the material world for its own sake. The only thing you can do is do something for something else. So it becomes very difficult because of that training for a person to understand the whole idea of Lishma. Because that's why Chazal say, "Ein loch ben acharon al misha osik b'Torah." Why is Torah cheres freedom? It's the ultimate freedom, because you're not doing anything for anything else.
Everything you do, you do it as a means something else. This you're doing because this is life. This is it. This is not why you're doing it. That's the only thing to do. That's Lashma. Lashma is for itself. Lashma means there's no further goal. So it's not contradictory. In other words, happiness is something which a person always does, ultimately, to get to a point where he's doing the activity, which is the activity of man. The only activity of Sashma is an activity where you say, this is life. This is the activity of, there's no reason, I'm not trying to get anything out of this other than this is Chaye Adam, this is life. That's Lashma. See, I just want to mention one thing. Ultimately in Lashma, the person doesn't think of why he's doing it. The ultimate Lashma is Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't think why he's learning.
He doesn't think of why he's doing it for himself.
No, he doesn't think why he's doing it at all. In other words, he is fulfilling what the highest level of Adam is, and that is engaged in this activity of Yedias Hashem. There's no reason, he doesn't have any conflict, you see. He is living what man is supposed to be.
He's following God's will, but he's not doing it for himself.
He's following God's will not because he's trying to follow. He's following God's will because God's will and his chokhmah dictated such an existence, and now his activity is exactly what that existence is. Yeah, correct. Yeah. What he sees, the difference is, I mean, if a person is doing it for the material world, I mean, aside from the fact that it's frustrational, no, you see, the person, there's tremendous difference.
I don't mean the guy you're talking about who understands.
You see, that individual is doing it for all of my ball. That's like the Ram mentioned, that's a chiluf thing. In other words, he's doing this, he's exchanging this for that. That really is not lashma. The person that's doing mitzvahs in order to get Olam Haba, he's exchanging. So that's not really lashma. That's not lashma. So you want to know, a person like that,
is he any different
in terms of than an individual who is pursuing the material world? That's the question? Okay. The answer is, in activity, in action, he isn't. See, in the nature, in his mode of operation, he's not any different.
What about that?
Because they're both doing something for an exchange, and neither one is involved in an activity of Lashma in that sense. But the question you have to ask is one better off than the other? And the answer is that the individual, that is the religious individual, is better off because at least he's exchanging something for a thing, at least he's closer. He is closer to what reality is. And in that sense, his life is more real, and also he has a greater chance of arriving at the truth, whereas the other person is completely in an opposite direction. So both from a practical standpoint, he's better off because he can attain the ultimate, and also insofar as a person's life is reflected by his closeness to the SSM, which means there's, you know, none of us really have ultimately the SSM, and human being, even the greatest human being, can't. But there are levels of distance and closeness. So a person who while he's far away from the truth, he still is closer, far closer than an individual who's doing things for material. So in that sense, his life is more real, partakes more of a reality, and there are many, many benefits besides in terms of his own existence. The mode of operation is going to be the same, but that's a difficult. I mean, that's a high level for a person to get into a different transition, different mode of operation. You're talking about a different type of individual. That's an ultimate. You know, that's something which we ultimately strive for, but it's not an easy thing. I mean, very few people can attain that. I mean, that's why you chachmas. Shlomo HaMelech and Ezra Chachmas HaTorah, and tremendous effort insofar as the person overhauling their own personality to arrive at such a type of individual. I mean, that's not a simple thing. It's a simpler thing for a person to leave the material world and exchange it for the religious world. That you see is done, and that's not something which is that can be done readily in certain situations with certain individuals, you see. And I'm not saying that it's not something praiseworthy, but it is not to be compared with a total change in an individual based on chokhmah and knowledge and yedias Hashem. Is a totally, you can't compare the two. No, yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. What about a religious, what about a person that is living for Chai Olam Haba, for what he thinks is Chai Olam Haba, in exchange? Not for, we said the real Chai Olam Haba is going to be, it's going to be an internal contradiction, so he can't attach a sense of satisfaction to that. But what about the false idea? In other words, he thinks this is going to go on forever. You see? So the answer is, if it's the real Olam Haba, it's antithetical. If it's a false idea of some kind of transplanting of the physical onto an eternal plane, you see, which is a complete illusion, he's going to experience all the frustrations that the you can't fool yourself into, you can't create an illusion and be happy with the illusion, because the illusion is based on a certain reality, and that reality is always going to get you. That's why you see that religious people who say they really they can't wait to Chai Olam Haba, but you hold them up with a gun, they'll be scared and they'll mess up. So because you can't do that, you can't fool yourself. You basically, he's just trying to say that this is not a physical thing, but really all his desires are really physical. He's just trying to escape by way of an illusion. But he's still attached to the same thing. He's going to experience all kinds of internal conflicts and frustration. Let me put it this way. Maybe I didn't emphasize enough. When he says kizek kol ha'odom, he means the satisfaction is that you're living in line with what Odom really is. This is all it is, and that knowledge of that's all it, that's what life is. This is what it is, and I'm living in line with that's all. That's all it is. You understand what I'm saying? That is the satisfaction. You follow? That's correct. Kizek kol ha'odom means that I recognize that this is what Adam is, and there's nothing more. And I'm living in line with that reality. So I'm not satisfying the other thing, but I'm satisfying the fact that I'm living in line with knowledge, that kizek kol ha'odom. That's really the self-dover kol nishma. Self-dover kol nishma means the person, we recognize all the arguments, and we recognize the truth and the validity of the argument, and we recognize that that you can never really have the sense of satisfaction attached to a direct object. But that knowledge itself causes a person to say, kizek kol ha'odom. That knowledge is the thing that gives him the happiness. You see? That's correct. Frustration emerges when you try to do something you can't do. You know that it's not there, and still there is a life of a certain activity that is valuable, and you see through the illusion, then do you feel happy that you've seen that? You see? That you're in line with that reality. That's the only genuine happiness. Reality destroys the illusion of the that's really the beginning of the Sefer too, where he starts off with the beginning, he says, and basically what he's telling in the beginning is that when you study the universe, there is no reflection in the universe of human importance, of self-importance. Everything looks like it's darlach v'darbar. Everything is going in its own, on its own path. And that the path is very impersonal. And it does not give a person any sense of self-worth or self-accomplishment. It's just the universe going on with laws and a system and chachma. But it's traveling in its own orbit. It's not going towards you. It's going away from you. The need to accomplish can't find itself nowhere. It'll find itself in the recognition of the fact that there is an illusion vis-a-vis itself, and the satisfaction of the knowledge that you see through the illusion and you live in a way that is tied to the reality. That zekolodom, that this is it. There is nothing more. See, but I know that there's nothing more, and therefore I engage my energies solely in an activity that's worthwhile, not the activity of chacham. Exactly. Yeah. This is you. Zekolodom. See, there's one thing I would add, and this is something I mentioned before, that when the Rambam says that chachamim are looking for Chai Olam Haba, they're not looking for Chai Olam Haba because they want something, because that the Rambam says just the opposite. Says that's chilaf. It has to do with what we mentioned a while ago, the attachment to an individual for existence. You see, so it's a person who has who's on a certain level has a love of existence. Like we mentioned, so that means, the Chayil Mom means, that the Hasharas HaNefesh means it's the love of existence. That his existence will continue, but not in the way of a sense of self accomplishment. It's a different concept.